Today on Real Life Radio.
The death of the shepherd saved 100 billion people. That makes more sense to us, right? Never did that ever enter the mind of God. Ever. It's impossible. Because biblical theology is God will die for one sinner.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible.
Well, friends, listen, it's been 2 years here at the Real Life Network, and God has been so good to us. God put it on our hearts to create a network that would be cancel-free, censorship-free, uncompromising, so that we could bring the truth to anyone, anywhere. God has been so good to us these last 2 years, everybody, and we want to thank all of you. So today, we are amazed that over 70 million minutes of biblical worldview truth has been on our programming and viewed by you, the audience, on the Real Life Network. Every piece of our content on the Real Life Network is rooted in God's Word so that it's safe, it's secure. So listen, spread the word with us, will you? Encourage friends and family to join the Real Life Network and that we might grow together this community of believers all around the world.
So if you haven't checked it out already, that's the Real Life Network, streaming the best in Christian and conservative content. Sign up and start streaming today for free at reallifenetwork.com. That's reallifenetwork.com. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series called The Parables of Jesus and a message titled Parable of the Lost Sheep, Part 1. You know, whenever Jesus spoke to the crowds, he often spoke using relatable stories with common everyday themes that the Bible calls parables. Now, in this particular parable, Jesus is teaching about his Father's concern for us. Now, this parable is one of the most beloved of all the parables, how there will be more joy in heaven over one lost sinner who repents than over those who need no repentance. So today, Pastor Jack teaches that the existence of sheep defies explanation. They just don't do well on their own, especially when they wander away. So just as sheep are 100% dependent on the shepherd for their survival, we are 100% dependent upon God for our survival. Now with his message called Parable of the Lost Sheep, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Isaiah chapter 53, verses 5 through 6 tells us that, but he was wounded, speaking about Christ, the prophetic announcement of Jesus Christ to come. Isaiah 53, 5 says, but he was wounded for our transgressions and he was bruised for our iniquities. Listen, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like, what? Sheep have gone astray. We have all turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord laid on him the iniquity or sin of us all. By the way, there's that statement again. Sheep do not run away. We wander away. Maybe, listen, maybe you're a Christian tonight, but you've wandered away from him. It doesn't have to be something outwardly obvious. You could be doing all of your religious stuff, but your heart's not in what you're doing. Were you here? Were you in worship? Did you come to worship tonight? Did you worship or did you tweet your friends and Facebook a buddy and Instagram this and the group is singing, but we're just all, what? I don't know. You aren't worshiping. Or were we worshiping and we're going, oh, that's a nice dress. Or that's a nice shirt he's got. What are we doing? We could slip away really easy. Our hearts could wander in a moment. We don't do well on our own. We need a shepherd. He tends to us. He loves us. He takes care of us. He anoints our head with oil. He's very good to us. We are God's concern also. Verse 4 teaches us, look at it, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does he not leave the 99 in the wilderness? Listen, this teaches me that his concern for us is unquestionable. Jesus, God in flesh, is announcing to us 2,000 years later through the Bible, and he announced it to them in person. Listen, it's unquestionable God's commitment and concern for us. Jesus, in his own words, is saying, hey, one sinner, one lost lamb of God's, is worth the 99 parking and waiting, and he goes and gets the one. That's you, that's me. Well, I'm the 1%. He loves you. He'll tell the 99, wait, sit right there, I'll be right back. You know, in reality, they have incredible sheepdogs. Stay right there. You take care of these sheep. I'll be right back. And he's going to go hunt down the one that's lost. It's awesome. Listen, his concern for us is unquestionable. My dear friend, God's concern for you, you cannot. I mean, we do question in our moments of in lapse of faith. We question God like this. Why? We all do this. It's sin. Or like this. If I were God, I would, what am I saying? I know better. I've been around 55 and a half years. I know better. God says, I've been around before time has ever been created. I think I know better. Think about that for a moment. See, when we begin to counsel God, what are we saying? I think I know how this ought to go, God. No, you know what? Please get this into your heart and never let it go. His concern for you and the situations of your life are unquestionable. He's absolutely concerned about you and for you. His love for you will not settle for anything less. His heart makes a demand upon his actions, and he moves to your concern. What evidence do you have? He's the shepherd, and we are the sheep. That's what he does. Well, what if he stops doing it? He can't. Did you know that? What if he changes his mind? It's impossible. How do you know? Because he's God. He said he wouldn't. And he doesn't like love us on Monday and not so much on Tuesday. He's God. Never changes. In Philippians 2, verse 8, listen. Philippians 2, 8. I want to remind you, it says, and being found in the appearance as a man. Do you understand that? That's an awesome statement. Jesus Christ. Who's Jesus? Listen, Jesus was God come to earth, as I said a moment ago. He's the one making these promises. He's the one telling us that he's the shepherd and we're the sheep. He's the one that came and was found in the appearance of man. Do you understand? That statement's amazing. Because for you and I to be found in the appearance of man is nothing. Why? Because we were born this and we will die this. That word means he was not this and became this. That's cool. I love it. He goes on. Philippians 2, 8. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Now watch. His concern for us is unquestionable, but here's what I'm saying to that verse. Now hear me out. Don't panic. He became obedient even to the death of the cross. This makes no sense to me in the human setting. In the human setting alone, it makes no sense. Why would God die for sheep, for us? It makes no sense. What's more important, sheep or the shepherd? The shepherd. You can always get sheep. Shepherd, in God's economy, it makes perfect sense to him. His commitment to you is so unquestionable that you would say, if you were a shepherd of some sheep in the plains of Utah or Colorado or Idaho or England, you would say, let me see, let me figure this out. We've got 100 sheep here and a shepherd. We got this situation going on. Well, we'll just take the life of the shepherd. Nobody would ever even think that thought. But God says, well, you know what? Here's the thing. They're lost. Church, listen. I'm setting you up for something here. You ready? He already told us they're lost. Someone's lost. Jesus doesn't say, look, I'm going to leave the one and go after the 99 lost ones. That makes more sense to me. Does it make more sense to you? Don't tell me it doesn't, because do you ever feel like this? I'm sure God wants to save those people over there, but not me. You ever feel like that? I'm sure God wants to heal them or bless her or, you know, give him a job, but not me. We do this to ourselves. And God doesn't think like us. Our love, sad to say, is conditional, unless it's the love of God emanating out from our lives. When I look at you as someone anything other or less than the way God looks at you, then my acceptance or rejection of you is based purely on carnal measures. You understand that? God's not like us. If I'm loving you the way God loves you, then I will accept you as is. Right? And that's the key in a relationship, by the way. Well, I used to love my wife. Well, why don't you repent? Well, have you seen her lately? Have you seen yourself lately? Look. Well, I've been working out. That's not what I'm talking about. Your heart looks like a lump of coal, you know? Your spirit is corrupt. It's the heart issue. That's what needs to be fixed. These commercials on TV make me sick. In fact, I'm just about ready to throw my TV away. I just for the satisfaction of, I want to send a letter to all the commercial people to let them know, I threw my TV away. I'm not watching your commercials. I feel good. But have you noticed, listen, try to find a commercial or a show on TV that it shows the family intact and happy and doing great. The Ozzy and Harriet moment, you know? They mock all the stuff that works. In this ludicrous, insane world that we live in of New York and Hollywood, in Sacramento and Washington, they've got this social experiment in their head that they want to play with, as long as they play with you. It's not reality. And when you see stuff on TV and commercials and stuff, we are a nation without a shepherd. Because you've got every man in every commercial or program is basically an idiot, and he wouldn't even know how to buy a Goodyear tire without his wife's input. Now the children are usurping authority in the commercials over mom and dad. And if you do see some form of romance going on, it's some 60-year-old guy with a 30-year-old girl. I don't know about you, but if I was all you girls, I'd be really upset about that. Have you noticed that? And it's all rigged to get money. And it sends a message, because there's some old dope, 60-year-old, okay, maybe someone's going to say, today's my birthday and I'm 60, you ripped me off. Okay, a 55 and a half year old, what with the turning the channel and sees a commercial like that and thinks, maybe I should turn my wife in and get a 30-year-old version. This is happening every day. Why? Because we are like sheep without a shepherd.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
We don't do well on our own. And Jesus is telling us, listen, I'm the shepherd. And this is a shock. It doesn't make sense in my economy. I'm going to lay down my life for the sheep. Wait, you are not only a shepherd, you are the shepherd. Oh, yes, I know. And are you guys sitting down? We're going to have to wrap this up. Listen, listen to this. You have to remind me next time we get into this, because I'll forget. Because I'm 55 and a half. I'm going to forget. Listen. What is veiled in the theology of what Jesus is saying, it's missed most often. Jesus is announcing, I've come to save the lost. And so much so, the parable I'm laying out before you guys, Jesus would say then, back then 2,000 years ago, and the Holy Spirit is saying to us tonight, I want you to get it down so much that my concern for you is so unquestionable that this is pure theology. It can never change. I will lay down my life to the death as God Almighty for one lamb, one sheep. You see, our human economy, if there's enough people in this bucket, then maybe it will tip the scale over and, okay, I can now I can justify the death of the shepherd. The death of the shepherd saved 100 billion people. That makes more sense to us, right? Never did that ever enter the mind of God. Ever. It's impossible. Because biblical theology is God will die for one sinner. This is a miracle. That's you. Do you have a name? Can you hear me? That's you. Do you? Now watch. Watch how we're confronted now immediately with our faith being challenged. Do you believe God at his word, who says, I would have come and been born through Mary, did the same thing you read about me in the Gospels, if I were only going to save you? You and I say, no way. Why? Because you're too familiar with you through a lens that is broken. Your lens is broken. Sin broke the lens, and you do not, you, some of you tonight are being reminded that you've been created in the image of God. You are so, we are so fallen as his creation that our, we have glasses on, you guys, but they're Coke bottle thick and cracked. And we're like this, groping in the night, as it were. And God says, hey, I have left everything to find you. And you will either say tonight, no way. Or you'll say, me? You know what's great about grandkids? You buy them stuff. They don't say, well, gosh, how much was that? Isn't it awesome? Now, when you're raising your kids, you want your kids to say, Dad, how much was that? A whole month's wages. I mean, I sacrificed so much for you. Gee whiz. Come on. I mean, your father here. That's what you do to your kids. But when they're grandkids, prices, it's irrelevant. Papa, can I have that gold-plated Mickey Mouse hat? You want two? Right? Why? It's just different. And God looks at us and he just, his love for us is, it's absolutely unquestionable. And you and I have to, this is the thing for us. This is our valley of decision. Will we believe him or will we not believe him? See, the Pharisees couldn't handle that. The Pharisees represented, okay, if you're going to get to heaven, you got to imagine, put on your track shoes, get ready to run, and we'll put you through a triathlon here, and we'll take the first top five guys, then you qualify for the next thing. It's all about what you can do. And Jesus comes along and says, it's not anything about what you can do. It's all about what I've done. And that's why a child is more prone to accept the gospel than a calloused heart adult. We become cynical, critical, judgmental of even God. Listen, let's just bow our heads right now. We'll pick this up next time. But tonight you need to have the promises of God flood over your life. We've all read and heard that he loves us. I'm wondering if we really believe that. Do we really believe he loves us? It's easier for us to believe that he loves the person sitting next to us than me. And Jesus is saying to you tonight, I came and I died for you. See, my friend, that's why the Bible presents Jesus as a personal Savior. It's why when he said to Nicodemus, you must be born again, this is the Savior speaking to the sinner, saying you have to start all over again, but it comes through a new birth. You need to be born into a new family. Your genealogy is messed up. Your heritage is goofy. You need to be born of the Spirit, Nicodemus. And tonight I want to ask you, in fact, I want to be true to the parable tonight. I'm speaking to the Christian tonight. You're a Christian. You're going to heaven. But you've wandered from the fold. We all know what that's like. You didn't run. But all of a sudden you can stop and you look back and you realize, wait a minute, I don't even see the flock anymore. I don't see the shepherd. Where am I? And a lamb, a sheep, wanders away. Always, by the way, interestingly enough, they always wander away with their head down. They go from one dandelion to one blade of grass to one, until they are so far away, they look around and the fellowship is gone. And the shepherd's missing from their view. They wake up realizing, I've wandered. Christian, tonight, there's nothing to be ashamed about. And listen, we have all done this. But maybe tonight, I'm going to ask you tonight, if you're a Christian and God is speaking to your heart and you've wandered, that maybe, you don't have to do this, but maybe tonight you would say, I want to come back. I just want to get refocused. I want to get readjusted with Jesus. Make tonight a restart. Tonight would be the night that you're coming back to your first love. How's that? You're going to renew your covenant with God. You are going to come and you're just in your own words as you come up here, you're going to be saying, Lord, I recommit my faithfulness and love to you. I renew my covenant with you, Jesus. And it's in his name we pray, and all God's people said,
amen.
Amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, and his message called Parable of the Lost Sheep, Part 1. Thanks for being with us today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Parables of Jesus. It's a series that highlights the teachings of Jesus while he was ministering right here on this earth, and will continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
So as you heard from our broadcast, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And if you'd like to know what a commitment to Christ can mean in your life personally, we would love to help you out with that. Go to jackhibbs.com/knowgod. That's K-N-O-W, God. And there you'll be guided through what a commitment to Christ can mean in your life and the freedom that you'll find in knowing God. Don't miss out. That's the Know God tab at jackhibbs.com.
Pastor Jack, this month's featured resource, it's called When Culture Hates You. It's written by Natasha Crane. You really like Natasha, right?
I mean, I do, Davey. And the reason is Natasha is one of the great defenders of the faith that we have today. She is on a continuous speaking circuit, defending the truth from the Word of God and into the culture. She's fearless. In fact, I've always often joked with a mutual friend of Natasha, Dr. Frank Turek. And I've always told Dr. Frank Turek, if we had more men like Natasha, the church would be a lot better off, because she's fearless and she's all about truth. And she's written a tremendous book, When Culture Hates You. I love the title, because if we're going to be actual followers of Jesus Christ, the culture will hate us. It must hate us. And so it's a great book. I don't want anybody to be scared by the title. But you really need to know. In fact, listen to this. Persevering for the common good as Christians in a hostile public square. That's exactly where we live. And her book will help you be equipped to do exactly that.
So if listeners were to take away just, you know, one key point from this book, what would you hope that point would be?
Yeah, evaluation, self-evaluation. Who am I? Is this really a life that describes me as a believer? Am I hitting those points, the evidences that Jesus talked about, whereby I'm actually a real Christian? I have these kinds of
friends that are for me, and I have these kinds of enemies who are against me. And that may sound like a strange thing for people to hear, but Jesus said, if you love me, the world's going to hate you. And so the big question comes to us is my witness effective enough to where people love it and people hate it? And that's an important, very deep probing question that we have to ask ourselves in the 21st century as we name the name of Christ.
When Culture Hates You, written by Natasha Crane. It's available for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com/realradio. One more time, jackhibbs.com/realradio. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.